SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid. This is hour number two. We'll start it off with our 7 in 7 top headlines. Here, Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Of course, the NBA Finals. Game number 5 goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. A big time win for them, 123-119, and they are one win away from an NBA championship.
Could they wrap it up on a Tuesday night? The Deer District, Kevin, certainly to go wild tomorrow night as the Bucks open up as a favorite. But what an impressive performance going on the road. Finally, a team won on the opposing team's home court as Milwaukee goes back. If you are going to win it, most people said, hey, if I'm going to take the Bucks in this, they're probably going to have to get it done in 6 games at this point. So they have a chance to do that. And you think that obviously the Suns are going to win it. Well, now there's no choice but going to a game 7. Amazing performances across the board. But it's just interesting looking at the box score, Kevin. 52% from the free throw line, and they still were able to get it done, the Milwaukee Bucks. That is an impressive performance. The big superstars had to shine, Kevin, and they did for the Bucks.
It was also just an excellent basketball game. Back and forth they went. It looked like it was going to be a Phoenix blowout, up 16 at the end of the opening quarter. Didn't even hold a lead into the half. Very exciting game. Really looking forward to what game number 6 will have to offer here. Also, how about over the weekend, Colin Morikawa shoots 15 under at the Open Championship to hold off a star-studded field. The top 10, including Spieth, Rahm, Koepka, Dustin Johnson, but none of them could chase down Colin Morikawa.
Now, Morikawa was sensational, steady hand as he went down the stretch. But also, let's keep in mind, it wasn't as if, Kevin, he came into the final day with a big lead and just sat on and said, hey, I got a 4-stroke lead. I'm just going to play par golf out. He had to get after it here. Take a look at the round, 67, 64, 68, and then a final day, 66, which also, take a look at Spieth, 66 in the final round. Rahm, 66 in the final round. Koepka, 65 in the final round. But Morikawa was the man every single time it looked like he was going to give a shot back. He surprised, wowed, big putts, big chips. Congratulations to Morikawa. That was a sensational performance. Maybe the best you're going to see out of a Sunday golfer.
Just incredible stuff there. And there was a lot of moments where, no bogeys. Excellent golf from Morikawa, as Donnie said. Keeping things moving here in our top headlines. USA Basketball with some roster changes over the weekend. Bradley Beal off of the team due to health and safety protocols. Kevin Love off of the team citing injury as a reason. Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee filling in the holes. And Keldon Johnson had a big performance in USA's victory over Spain this weekend.
Yeah, it had to feel good. This team, sort of as they get more practice time, more exhibition games, they seem to be playing better together. Let's also remember that it's not so much the Keldon Johnson moves or the JaVale McGee moves. You're going to get 3 all-world players here that are going to join this team in less than a week in Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. Things are looking up for the United States when maybe a week and a half ago, Kevin, we were saying like, can they even get to the medal round?
Yeah, coming up next, we're going to break down the odds for them to win the gold there and some really interesting options over at the Olympics. We switch things over to Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees finally beat the Boston Red Sox, take the final 2 games, what ended up turning into a 3-game set with COVID costing them the opener. And it was the backups getting the job done there for the Bronx Bombers. We bring the radio audience into the fold. Thanks to everybody that is listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, and all of our radio affiliates out there. But Donnie, the Yanks finally being able to grab a couple of games off Boston.
Exactly. You go from winning a couple games against Boston and a couple games against the Houston Astros, but now you're going to go up against those powerhouse Philadelphia Phillies. The battle lines will be drawn over the early line over the next couple days here, but a nice win by the Yankees, still keeping them, Brian Cashman in that front office, with their ear to the telephone. If a deal's to be made, if the Yankees show that they're going to fight through this COVID, these injuries, and still make hay in the AL East, why not get them some help and go for it, Kevin? Big market. What do you have to lose?
Also, with the Phillies-Yankees series on the cusp, the one way to make sure that everything stays all good here is to celebrate Dinger Tuesday by attacking Yankee Stadium. I look forward to that game starting, that series starting tomorrow. Also sticking with New York baseball, Jacob DeGrom lands on the IL. The Mets just avoided being swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend here. But perhaps bigger news is that their ace continues to battle injury issues.
Their ace and marquee player now down, Kevin, for probably who knows. Matt, I saw an interview yesterday when we're taking a look at maybe Jacob DeGrom. He's not going to throw until his forearm feels a little bit better. And then you take a look at the lineup overall in itself, finally getting healthy. Lindor, he said it's not going to be days, possibly weeks till he's healthy. And I see your lead starting to slip here. Look, Cohen, again, they're in New York. He's got deep pockets as well. He can make a couple moves to try to cover this up. But looking towards the Mets second half of the season, getting a little bit in that time where it's starting to panic here for the Mets. They got to hold that lead. We'll see if the Phillies and or the Braves can close on it.
How about a couple of soccer guys giving an update here from the Gold Cup? Team USA advanced to the next stage. They go unbeaten in the group stage, finishing things off with a 1-0 victory over Canada. Their lone goal coming 20 seconds into the match.
There you go. Shaq Moore, 1-0, all Team USA needed as they head down their path to a Gold Cup victory. Maybe an inspiring effort here as they possibly can get in to the World Cup also.
Hopefully some Gold Cup futures markets come out there so Donnie can give you a couple of winners in that market. Also, Coco Gauff knocked out of the Olympics due to COVID. We'll talk more about that next.
Lost in a
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside hanging out with you on this Monday morning. I want to talk about the Olympics getting closer to the games in Tokyo. And we had some news with Coco Gauff being forced out of the games due to COVID. And I want to start right there before we get to Team USA and the basketball and the results and the roster moves there. Donnie, you know, not hitting any kind of panic buttons, but it does seem like COVID is still going to have a major impact here on the Olympics.
Yeah, it's still, and also it's kind of interesting because, you know, as we've seen through this whole COVID pandemic for about the last year and a half, it's an interesting virus, that being is that you can, you know, take off from New York City or wherever flying to the Olympics and you could be healthy. But once you land maybe a day or two later when you test, you know, that virus is still in your system and pops up. It's good that they have the protocols and also still a bubble. And yes, I don't think fans are going to be able to attend the games in Tokyo, which is fine because it's more of a TV theatrics as well as we would watch back in the United States, Europe, or across Asia, as opposed to being there. Now, there's a lot of fan support that you get from the home countries. It's fun to watch, similar with what we like to see in college football, the NBA, and also the NFL and whatnot. But it's good that they're getting this out of the way. They're flying in early as opposed to, like, you know, a day or two before the opening ceremonies and getting this information. Mm-hmm. So if you have to make some changes, you can make those changes. And long as they keep them to a minimum, I think the games will go off without a hitch here.
Yeah, hopefully everything is smooth, but we've even seen COVID impact the men's USA basketball squad a little bit here. Bradley Beal being off of the roster, Kevin Love opting out, health, maybe performance dictating a lot of that. Donnie, before we, you know, even expand on the performance of a Keldon Johnson, what did you think of the fact that it was Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee filling in the two empty slots?
I thought it was very interesting here because I know a lot of people, oh, you don't even pick up the phone and call Trae Young or some other guys. I'm wondering if this is like a chemistry issue from the top level guys on the team where, you know, you're going to add somebody of a Trae Young's ilk where he's going to have the ball. He's going to be running the point, but wasn't really involved over the past couple weeks of practicing and playing in exhibition games. Maybe you just wanted to bring a few guys over who wouldn't rock the boat, because also keep in mind, once we get through the NBA Finals, you're going to get three star players that are going to be added to that roster as well. I just think it was more of a matchup here. Where JaVale McGee, hey, if I need some rebounds, I need you to play some defense. That's all I need you for. You know, Keldon Johnson into the mix. He doesn't need the basketball. He doesn't need to shoot, you know, 20 times a game in order to get into his flow. Maybe it was more of a chemistry issue, if that makes sense. But I think from a United States perspective, wouldn't we have loved to see Trae Young in international play having fun out there? Surely we would have, but there's got to be some reasoning behind the scenes where, you know, maybe some guys weren't actively in shape and ready to join the team. But I know a lot of politics, Kevin, go into making the Olympic team as well.
And that's kind of my issue here, Donnie. I'm not very happy about the results. And really, any way you try to justify it, I think it's an issue. Trae Young is out there openly tweeting, sending out, you know, the Isaiah Thomas clip of when, you know, from the Michael Jordan documentary, I met the criteria. Basically trying to say that, like, I should be on that team. And boy, is he right. One of the stars of this past postseason here. If he's willing to be on that team, he should have been on that team regardless. Like, regardless of anybody being removed. And whether, like, chemistry or not, Donnie, then how do we justify them saying yes to Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker, right? If you go on to say, well, JaVale McGee was the best player that was willing to show up, well, that's another problem here. And listen, this is not a slight to JaVale McGee, but I'm not sure he's a top 200 American basketball player in the world. And he's going to be out there representing Team USA. If that's the best player that is willing to go, then there's a problem to me, Donnie, that at the top of their ability to convince top guys to come. And that could be because they perhaps upset some of these guys with their initial roster decisions here. The Kevin Love move was criticized at the beginning, and it looks like it was turned out to be some very fair criticisms as he's no longer a part of this roster.
You're right, but sometimes you have to take a look at, there's a lot of superstars on this team. Did you need more superstars to try to come in and you can't guarantee them playing time? What happens if you ask, Kevin, one of these superstar players, Trae Young, say, you know what, hey, you had a great, you know, run up to it, you're a little bit banged up, that's fine, we'll take you over here. But Trae Young's used to playing a majority of the basketball game. Would Trae Young have been okay with Kevin coming over and playing 10 minutes in an Olympic game and saying, well, I just gave up my entire summer. You guys called me up and said, hey, you know, here's what it is. Maybe they're leveling and putting the feelers out there going, we're going to take two more guys here, Kevin, but we're going to take two more guys that are basically just to fill out the roster. If we need you, we'll come calling. Now, I understand the superstar appeal. We all want to see Trae Young. I think it would be fabulous in the Olympics because it's a guard-oriented game. He can shoot the three-point shot. He can get to the rim at any time he wants. I would love to see him there, but the politicking and maybe, hey, Trae, do you want to come over? Would there be bad blood with Team USA and Trae Young in the future if they said, all right, we only need you for a couple minutes a game, that's why we brought you over? That's the only thing I can think of, because the Olympics is about showcasing the superstars and putting their brand on a worldwide stage. It would have been perfect for Trae Young to be there. That's only the thing I can think of here, Kevin.
I understand what you're saying. I still can't get there because I think Trae Young understands what the Olympic game is, but also I think they need him for more than that. They didn't, like, losing Kevin Love, probably minimal. They lost Bradley Beal. That's a starter on that team, even when the NBA Finals reinforcements show up to the roster. So Trae Young would not be an insignificant addition to a team that, by the way, we still have some question marks around this group. They go out there and beat Spain 83-76 in their final exhibition game, which, nice, get the result on the board, certainly. They still didn't cover, Donnie. And that's something to keep in mind when we start to get to the games. Of their four exhibition games, one of the four, they were able to cover the number.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I do believe they are flying over to Tokyo. I want to say today, opening ceremony is this Friday. So we'll know fairly quickly here. It's going to be fun to try to keep tabs on this, Kevin, because that is going to be a rolling odds market, both with day-to-day games and also for the medal ceremonies. We got you covered here on the early line. I am certainly looking forward to it now that we do have some inclusion into the sport here, which getting some of the superstars out. Now, one question to you real quickly, Kevin, on this. You're going to have NBA champions, maybe two of them head over, and maybe one loser in Devin Booker. Or roles reversed. Devin Booker, an NBA champion, and then you take a look at Middleton and Jrue Holiday. Do you think, because they're not just coming off the reserve saying they're rested and ready, that might be a grueling series and completely emotionally spent from both sides here. Any downside to that?
Yeah, I mean, how is there not? And that was one of the big concerns when they're out there losing games to Australia. Like, don't worry, Jrue Holiday's coming. Oh, no. Like, look, Jrue Holiday can go out there and dominate the Olympic game, no problem. That's not the point. Like, you're going to be asking Jrue Holiday to step up and, hey, you're our best perimeter defender immediately. That's concerning. Hey, Devin Booker, we lost Bradley Beal. You need to be the second best scorer on this team right away. You're starting for us. Whoa. No, I was, like, hoping I didn't need to play the group stage. Like, that's definitely a little bit of a concern there. And I think it's part of the reason, Donnie, the odds for Team USA just keep getting shorter and shorter and shorter. Gone from minus 750 to 370 to 310 now on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. I do want to bring up, though, a FanDuel Sportsbook promotion that I know both Donnie and I will find a way to get invested in. You can place a $100 wager on the Olympics prior to July 26th. Now, it doesn't have to be just one $100 wagers. It can add up to $100 worth of bets on the Olympics. And you will be awarded, after opting in, Donnie, a $1 bonus in site credit for each gold medal that the USA is able to win at the Olympics. I believe that maxes out at $50. Team USA, and as a whole, their total over-under for gold medals, 43.5. That is a great promotion there from the FanDuel Sportsbook.
No, it certainly is, because even if you lose your $100 wager, you have a chance to get some of that money back, but also you can use that as a double down. Win that wager and also pick up about 40 gold medals. That is exactly what we're looking for. No doubt about it, Kevin. We're going to be participating in this FanDuel boost here.
Absolute awesome stuff there, again, from the FanDuel Sportsbook. We take a break and come on back. Take it or leave it is next.
Sports info.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Time for Take It or Leave It. We're going to go over to the NFL. We mentioned the NFL, the coverage is going to continue to pick up here on the early line. There's an interesting story that came out this past week around Tom Brady playing all or most of last season on a torn MCL. Okay, interesting stuff. Now he's had surgery to repair that. He's good to go. So perhaps Tom Brady can play even better. The defending Super Bowl champions to have the best record in the NFL. Perhaps to bet that and win that bet, Donnie, plus 600 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to leave that one on the table here. And it's not because I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be very good. You say, hey, if their Super Bowl win, you look at that. You party a little bit too much. You lose seven or eight starters because they all want to get paid. They bring every single player back. And to your first point here, Kevin, it is kind of interesting that Tom Brady seems like always in the middle of a controversy in the NFL with some people who don't, oh, what's it matter if he was injured? Us in the gambling markets know an injury, particularly to a quarterback and a knee injury that you are hiding, is big news. But as I say that, How much money would we have probably lost just trying to fade Tom Brady down the stretch? Because there's no way he can go through the playoffs and win a Super Bowl, Kevin, with a torn MCL. So maybe that was good that that news was hiding, because in the Super Bowl, I did have a team total over on the Buccaneers, which if maybe if the news broke that he had a torn MCL, maybe I would not have played that. So it didn't end up costing me money, but I see where that comes from. But I don't agree with you, the Kansas City Chiefs being, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being the overall best record in the NFL. They're going to have a tougher schedule, and I look at towards the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe even the Buffalo Bills is that next team on the rise, because even though Tampa Bay, Kevin, extremely talented, they had the most wear and tear. Why? Because they played the most games getting to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to be a repeat. Maybe not the Kansas City Chiefs, but one of the lower level teams. When I say lower level, I'm talking about Bills. I'm talking about the Ravens. I'm talking about the Rams. I think they're going to be able to overcome that. You still have a very good football team in Tampa Bay, but I'm not going to take that price here as the best overall record. I'm looking elsewhere.
It's a take it for me. I think Tampa Bay at plus 600 has a very good chance to have the best record here. If, you know, that losing Super Bowl hangover deal with the Kansas City Chiefs at plus 450 could be in play. And look, there's a lot of value, because after the Bucs, you get into 10 to 1 immediately. But I look at this Tampa Bay roster, Donnie. They go to the Rams, to the Colts. Outside of that, I'm not sure there's another game that they will be underdogs in. Now, I understand you got to go out there and win your games, but it certainly helps to be favored in the lion's share of your games in the way that the Buccaneers will be. And I think another boost for them will be a division that'll be a little bit more vulnerable. I do not buy the Atlanta Falcons. I've never bought Sam Darnold. And even if I think that New Orleans might be better than some project, it has still got to be, for this Bucs team, let me figure out if Jameis or Taysom Hill is that much better than a Drew Brees here. So for me, Donnie, I think that's a big boost as well. Maybe you see it differently, but I think the NFC South, a little bit more vulnerable than, say, the AFC West.
Now, you could be right on that. There's a lot of good points in that. And I have the same points as you, Kevin, on Tampa Bay is extremely talented. They bring everybody back. There's continuity. I mean, they won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady being down there for 1 year. Now he's going to be in the second year. And you hear Bruce Arians talk about Tom Brady saying, hey, he's basically a coach on the field. Now he has everything down pat. But when I look for making Super Bowl runs, I know that attrition eventually catches up with teams. And maybe you're a little bit high on the hog the following year, knowing that you already got your ring and you got paid at the same time, as opposed to being hungry. I'm just looking for a way to take down. It's not really being a hater in me for Tampa Bay, but I'm just looking for a way to take them down. And I think just playing that many games, everybody getting paid, and you already won the Super Bowl, it might be a little bit of a downfall here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The one thing I will say that is very important still, the one bye. So there's no real breathing room to give a game here or give a game there. But I absolutely acknowledge there's a lot of value in that market if you're willing to go off of the top two choices in the Chiefs and the Bucks here. Another market that recently came available on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Coach of the Year market, the favorite, Brandon Staley at 12-1. Donnie, take it or leave it on the favorite.
This market is fascinating, but I'm going to leave this, and not because I don't think Brandon Staley can come in and make a difference here, because when you're looking for Coach of the Year, it's not necessarily, Kevin, the best team with the best coach. It's an underachieving team that makes a head coaching change, and then that coach leads them to maybe just the playoffs here. I saw it in Philadelphia about, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when Ray Rhodes came to town, turned around a dismal Philadelphia Eagles team, and ends up winning Coach of the Year. So if I'm going to take that prognostication here, I want a little bit better odds than 12-1. So I'm going to leave Staley on the table, not as if he can't win it, but you're looking at guys a little bit farther down. Like, let's just say you still have a good team. If Sean McVay takes his team to the best record in the NFC, he takes a 17-1 down. Look at Sean McDermott with the Bills, the same thing. He would pull down a 17-1 price. But even looking farther down the list, and you're looking at some guys that, you know, Bruce Arians, 30-1. Case in point here. He probably has the best team if he wins it again. Well, was he really the coach of the year? He had the best roster. So I would leave that off the chart. But looking at a Cliff Kingsbury, 45-1, Kevin. If they end up winning the NFC West in that tough division, he's going to get a lot of looks at a massive price, even going off. Now, look, I'm not going to take David Culley at 70-1. That doesn't make any sense. I don't think there's going to be a turnaround. But then again, if the Texans win 10 games, absolutely. But even a guy like Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, things fell off the rails last year. If Sirianni turns around the Philadelphia Eagles and they can win the division, which isn't a great division in the NFC East, that's 55-1. So whether or not I think Staley is going to win coach of the year, he has a chance, yes, at 12-1. I'm going to leave it because there are lottery tickets on this board, Kevin, which I think have an equal opportunity to win it outside of Brandon Staley as the favorite at 12-1.
Now you see why I put this in there. I feel the same way as Donnie. Brandon Staley can and maybe will be good for the Chargers. That's besides the point here. It's a leave it. There are some names here that just pop off the page. And I'll add a couple more to that list. Sean Payton, 21-1. It writes itself. He made the playoffs without Drew Brees. Give him coach of the year. Matt LaFleur, who goes out there and exclusively wins 13 games. If Aaron Rodgers misses 2 weeks and they go 2-0, Matt LaFleur, you might as well hand him coach of the year right then and there. There are so many good options on this board here for coach of the year. I love the market. Don't love the favorite. Love all of these options here, though, on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Speaking, of course, of the FanDuel Sportsbook, how about an odds boost on the World Series winner? The Los Angeles Dodgers go from 400 to plus 500 on this odds boost. Donnie, take it or leave it.
I'm actually going to take this one, and it's not because I love the boost from 400 to 500, which is nice. You get an extra dollar price in it. That's great. If I'm going to continue to say that I think the Dodgers are the best overall team in baseball, why would I not take the Dodgers at the halfway point, you know, looking to get first place? But it's not so much to me, Kevin, about where they actually stand now. It's where are they going to end the regular season? Does Trevor Bauer come out? Do they make massive moves at the deadline? Because this team is immensely talented 1 through 8 in their lineup as it is already. Deep pocket owners, as I talk about. Also, a ton of prospects to flip with some of the best scouts to tell you, oh, yeah, these are the guys that we need to go after. And in the next draft, you can restock and replenty those single-A guys, double-A guys, and triple-A guys. So if I'm looking for the Dodgers now, it would be hypocritical, Kevin, for me to say leave this because I still think they're going to win the World Series. So if I'm getting a better price right now than I would, you know, typically at a plus 400 to plus 500, I am going to take it. Now, is this one of those bets, Kevin, where we take it and in a week and a half, it's plus 550, plus 600? What type of price did I get? But at that point, instead of massive injuries, I still think they win it. So as of right now, if I'm looking at this, I'm taking the 5-1 price in the Dodgers because I think they're the best team.
I have to leave it. I have to. How much shorter can these odds go? Like, if they win the NL West, which, by the way, they're minus 250 to do, they're going to drop to 3-1? I don't think so here. And if they don't catch the Giants, which by the way, it feels like this is all we're going to do all year long. Oh, the Dodgers are going to catch the Giants now. Oh, all right, here they go now. And all of a sudden, you have 5-1 in this case in your pocket on a team that is in a single-game elimination. And by the way, very likely not just versus any team. The team that's booked as the second-best team in the National League and the San Diego Padres. I cannot get there on the Dodgers. I will not get there on the Dodgers. Probably until we get to the postseason and we see where the chips have fallen there. So this is a leave it for me on the Dodgers at that price. But there's another interesting number in my eyes on the board, and that's the odds to win the American League, where the Chicago White Sox are no longer the favorite. And in fact, there's now a bit of distance between them and the Astros. The Astros plus 200, Donnie, the White Sox plus 330. Take it or leave it on the White Sox to win the American League.
I'm going to leave this one as well. And it's not because I don't like the price that now they sit at plus 330, Kevin. I'm looking at it from a perspective where I've been touting the Houston Astros for the last month. I'm not going to go back on my word. They sit at plus 200, but I do think the White Sox have a good price. But are they a year ahead of schedule here, Kevin? Is that pitching going to hold up over the second half of the season? And once you get into the playoffs, not really a pedigree here for the Chicago White Sox, can they carry it through? They have some great hitters. They have some very good pitchers, but I think it's not their time just yet. I'm going to leave this one, Kevin, on the table for me because I still like the Houston Astros to take it all down in the AL.
I wouldn't bring it up if it wasn't a take it for me. The White Sox just took two games off of the Astros, showing that they can beat that baseball team. They currently sit with the best record in the American League. And they are going to likely be getting back at some point Louis Robert and Eloy Jimenez to what is already a star-studded lineup. Coming back, the early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on this Monday morning. Time to break into the MLB board that we are getting offered on a Monday. A lot of good games here. I think the biggest, though, does come between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Boston Red Sox. Those that were with us last week know I bet the Blue Jays to miss the playoffs. Boy, oh boy, did I hate that start to the second half of the season. They look like they'd never lose another game. Just home run after home run after home run. Couldn't be scored on. The Red Sox lose two straight to the Yanks. And this Blue Jays team is going to be one to watch. Look, it was the price. It wasn't supposed to be Toronto slander. But now they enter a series here against the Red Sox with a lot of opportunity. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, they are minus 134 moneyline favorites. The total is 10.5, and we see Stripling versus Pivetta. Donnie, what do you think of this game?
Yeah, this will be an interesting one. Maybe look towards taking the dog here with the Boston Red Sox. And the reason being, as you head into Toronto. Now, also, I know a lot of people take a look at that Sunday night baseball game, not because the Boston Red Sox lost, but sometimes you fade that team because they played late at night when the other team played during the day, so a little bit more rest time. And, of course, Toronto is home there in Buffalo. But taking a look at how they match up, Ross Stripling is going to be on the mound. XFIP numbers on the season, a little bit high, 4.86, but he does have a decent K number here, Kevin. Right around 25% of the batters that he's facing, he does strike out. But let's take a look at where he gets the damage done against him. He is a right-handed pitcher, Ross Stripling. It's against righties. 177 plate appearances from the right-hand side against him, a 352 weighted on base average, and an elevated ISO power number of 238. You had some really good bats in this lineup in the first five for the Boston Red Sox. Take a look at Alex Verdugo. Even though he is a lefty, and Stripling does particularly well against lefties, he's got a 381 weighted on base average against righties. Martinez, 398. Bogarts, 374. Rafael Devers, 422. So you do have some numbers in that line that can keep pace, with Toronto. Take a look at Nick Pivetta from the opposite side here for the Red Sox. Don't really love Pivetta, but he has some okay numbers. Decent strikeout pitcher, Kevin. 28% of the batters that he does face, he strikes out. XFIP number, a little bit high at 4.65, but when you take a look at the profiling from the Blue Jays perspective, Simeon, Bichette, and Guerrero, weighted on base averages of 378, 343, and 483. After that, Kevin, everybody below par. Maybe a sneaky play here on the Boston Red Sox with a little bit of plus money here, Kevin, and to help your second half wager out.
I think the over 10.5 here is incredibly live. If you are willing to buy into how these two pitchers have handled these two lineups during this season, this would be each man's third start against these lineups here. Pivetta, in two starts, has lasted 10 total innings, giving up 10 earned runs, 4 total home runs, 13 hits. He's been mashed. Stripling's actually been worse against Boston this season in two starts. 9 1/3, 10 earned runs, 4 home runs as well, 13 total hits here. I almost mirror image. Basically, Pivetta was able to get two more outs. Both guys have been mashed. The Blue Jays are hot. If Boston's and their bats wake up a little bit after a less than stellar performance on Sunday night baseball here, I think over 10.5 can have a lot of juice in that game. How about another big series coming up between a couple of National League contenders, the Reds and the Mets. The Reds needing to bounce back after, again, a just disaster series result against the Milwaukee Brewers. Three games at home swept in that series. The New York Mets certainly would like to build off of their big comeback against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Reds are slight minus 118 favorites with, again, a total checking in, Donnie, at 10.5.
Yeah, 10.5, usually raise your eyebrows. Are we playing in Colorado? Absolutely not. But with these two pitchers on the mound here, there's no reason to believe we're not going to get runs here. Even if you say, well, I can't really trust the Mets all that much. The Mets did get seven runs yesterday, so maybe turning the tide. You are going to be playing in a pitcher's ballpark? Nope, absolutely not. Typically, we'd say that if this game was at Citi Field, but actually, being in Cincinnati, you have a hitter's ballpark now. Take a look at the xFIP numbers here on both sides, Kevin, with Gutierrez, a 5.67, which is a disaster. But then you take a look at Jared Eichhoff, only having about 40 batters that he's faced this year. But through those 40 batters, Kevin, a 7.07 xFIP number. And you take a look at a Major League Baseball team like the Cincinnati Reds sitting here at minus 126 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Take a look at the way their ISO power numbers profile. Now, when we talk about Dinger Tuesdays, it's a shame it's Monday, because take a look at some of these power numbers by the Reds versus Eichhoff, who is a righty. Winker, 315 ISO power number. Castellanos, 277. Votto, 250. Naquin, 233. And Suarez, 224. About a .160 is the Major League Baseball average. They are all elevated. The ball should be traveling here in Cincinnati. If we're looking for either side, pick your poison with these pitchers. But one thing I know, if the Mets can bring some of that lumber here on the road, we should get some runs. 10.5 seems high, but not with these two pitchers, Kevin.
The Mets, and we've talked about this before, and if you listen to Donnie and I on In Play Sports Tonight, which you can hear from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, we've talked about this a lot with the New York Mets. They are built for live betting. Either they score five runs in the first inning, and you bet the game under, or they'll do nothing for six innings, and then that you'll eventually be able to get a team total to check in at 1.5 or 2 and figure it out there. I look at these games. I look at these pitchers. I totally hear what Donnie's saying, that there's value. I'll look for the value live. I almost can guarantee that Donnie and I tonight at some point during In-Play Sports Tonight are going to be like, oh, hey, look at that Mets game. You think it's time to jump on? It's happened so many times, Donnie.
No, it certainly has, and that's the great part about betting in-game, because if you like the game to start and say, well, let me know how it starts, you can always get in. Even if they score two or three runs early in the game, those number prices are going to adjust based on, you know, seven innings or six innings still left. But the same markets that you can get those depressed team totals that we always talk about, if you like the Mets coming into this game, let's just say they were 4.5 on the team total, they haven't scored over the first three innings, well, you're looking at now 2.5s, maybe some threes out here, and going up against a terrible bullpen for the Cincinnati Reds. This one certainly, Kevin, we'll have our eyes on, and maybe we will build some hitter props here tonight on the radio show as well to have some fun with this one, because I do think we are going to get some runs both sides of the equation.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to be getting after it, no doubt. Some home run props potentially will come into play here. Let's switch over to the night slate. Two phenomenal baseball games to be played here. We'll start in Oakland, where the Athletics are a pick'em at home against the Angels. Perhaps that's because the MVP is on the mound. A total of 8.5 as Shohei and the Angels make a trip to Oakland.
This game actually has the feel to me, Kevin, as an underplay. And you take a look at Shohei that's going to be on the mound tonight. He does profile decent against this Oakland lineup coming into this game, an xFIP number of 3.93, strikeout percentage of 31%, which is great. But also, take a look, Kevin, his both lefty and righty weighted on base average, 299 to lefties, 255 to righties. He's certainly holding it down. And also, take a look at Cole Irvin, who was in the Phillies organization, struggled mightily, has been a decent pitcher out in Oakland. And keep in mind also, we're not in L.A. here, Kevin, where it might be, you know, 80 degrees at first pitch with a light wind blowing out. We're going to be in Oakland, so you're going to get those cooler temperatures with that marine layer to try to keep the ball in the ballpark. Irvin's xFIP number, a 4.69, but also, he does, you know, it's not a big strikeout guy, only 18%, doesn't really walk guys, so the ball is in play. But take a look at his weighted on base average, Kevin. He is a lefty, but to both lefties and righties, how about lefties, 309, and then to righties, a 279. One of those pitchers I can't seem to get a grasp on from myself. I would actually lean towards the under in this ball game, Kevin.
I'm really excited to see where some of these Shohei numbers for pitching check in. I'm just going through the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. They don't have him listed for home run prop or hit props here. You can get to some of the player performance doubles, which will give you a sense of perhaps where his strikeout props are listed, but they don't have one of those exactly just yet. I just want to the projections for Shohei. We always talk about this guy from a hitting perspective. Again, this team's ace here. Really interested to see where some of his pitching props will check in for a game like this. All right, here we go. It's the Dodgers and the Giants. I love this. I absolutely love this because this is the chance. They enter the series, they being the Los Angeles Dodgers, one game back of the Giants. Two in the loss column, but one game back. The opportunity is right there. Pass the Giants, never look back. Four straight games at Dodger Stadium. It all starts tonight with Gonsolin against Gausman, a total checking in at a flat eight as the Dodgers are -134 favorites currently on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
I would say if you're looking at the San Francisco Giants here, catching a small price at +108 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, this is probably the guy that you want to get behind is Kevin Gausman, and also not going up against one of those elite front-level rotation guys like a Walker Buehler, a Clayton Kershaw, a Trevor Bauer. So if this is the spot that you want to take the Dodgers, in the Giants, and probably rightfully so, let's take a look at Gonsolin on the season, a 4.74 xFIP, but he has had some pretty good numbers here, Kevin, throughout the season. K percentage right around 32%. He does get himself into a little bit of trouble with walks. So when you take a look at the first three guys in the Giants lineup here, Wade, Yastrzemski, and Flores, elite walkers. What does that mean? 12%, 12%, 14%. They are going to be able to take pitches in that instance. But it's whose lineup do you trust more? Because you look at Gausman, he's had a great year, 3.59 xFIP number, 31% strikeouts, doesn't walk a lot of guys. Look at his lefty-righty splits as well, Kevin. To the left side of the plate, which he's a right-handed pitcher, 2.57, and to righties, Kevin, get this number. A 0.180. So one of those games, again, that probably profiles, now that you're in the division, these games mean a lot more, sort of a playoff atmosphere. I probably would be looking more towards the under in this game, but if you're looking to take the elite pitcher on the San Francisco Giants for a chance to beat the Dodgers and get plus money, you're probably going to be looking that direction because Gausman is your guy. Gonsolin, decent pitcher, but it's just a matter of trying to overcome that Dodger bias in your mind. We say, boy, decent bullpen for the Dodgers, but look at that lineup. Yeah. How can I fade him, particularly at home? And, oh, yeah, the price isn't -275 tonight. It's only -126. Mm-hmm. So most people would say, where do I sign up on the Dodgers? But I do think the Giants are a sneaky dog here in this game with Gausman on the mound.
We would be talking a lot more about this Gausman season if Jacob DeGrom did not exist. Gausman is pitching to a 1.73 ERA right now. He and DeGrom, the only pitchers sub 200 right now, or sub-2, if you will, on the season. Him at a dog is going to be an attractive price, but it's also the Dodgers. Let me ask you this question, Donnie. The Dodgers are -250 to win the NL West. Is there any series result that the Giants could notch that would finally bring the Dodgers to a sub-200 price to win this division?
Is there a price you're asking, or what the games would be?
Like, if the Giants take 3 out of 4 games, do you believe the Dodgers would remain still a -200 or bigger favorite to win this division?
No, because you're going to get a lot of that rotation here in the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Because if you're going to tell me that they're in the thick of things, but now the Giants are getting the better of the Dodgers head-to-head, has no choice but to move because we're not talking, Kevin, once again, like it's April or May where we kept saying, sooner or later the Giants are going to fall. What happens if the Giants expand their lead here in the NL West at this point? That number is probably going to fall short of -200 if they take this series or maybe sweep this series, which I don't think is going to happen, but it's a good question that you bring up. Those odds will go low if the Giants get the better of them.
And of course, it could very well go the other way. If the Dodgers go out there and take 3 out of 4, pull off a sweep, it certainly could start to shift to that -300 range. We always talk about showing lead when we're betting NBA games, like show lead. You're on that good 10-0 run. You're on that 12-3 run. Get out in front, never look back. The Dodgers once they show lead, once they take the division lead, it'll feel like they would perhaps start to run away with it. Coming up next here on The Early Line, Ariel joins Donnie to let you know what's coming up on The Morning After. Keep it right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment on The Early Line for a Monday morning. Both myself and Kevin Walsh brought the heat for over 2 hours, getting caught up on weekend action, but it's time to turn it over to the Morning After crew. Three hours of action-packed analysis for Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. Let's welcome in Ariel Epstein today. Busy weekend, busy week ahead.
Hey, Donnie. I know you guys always bring in the heat on a Monday. I'm excited. Yeah. I love Mondays. I know people usually hate them. From a gambling perspective, they're fun. We had the NBA Finals over the weekend. Major League Baseball came off the All-Star break. There was a lot of drama in baseball also. Plus, the British Open, Colin Morikawa. There's so much to get to recap. Then we also have to give everyone the edge and make them some money now that the weekend's over. We have to put it behind us after hour one. Time to go make more money later on in the show.
No, certainly about it. And also Saturday night, some big doings in the NBA, right? As nobody has won on the opposing team's home court just yet, the Milwaukee Bucks stun on Saturday night. Now going back to the Deer District here, Ariel, looking to close out the Game 6. So there's no need for a Game 7 to go back to Phoenix. As a content provider, which we are, I would love a Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Giannis was sensational. The Big Three, Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton showed up. Devin Booker drops 40 points in a loss. Do we want to see a Game 7? Are we rooting for a Game 7 here, Ariel?
At this point, if you are someone that loves value, it is something you're rooting for because there's so much opportunity right now to go jump in on the Phoenix Suns, whether it's in the series price, whether it's in the MVP market. There is so much plus money and so much value out there if you're backing the Suns that if you want to jump in right now, you're going to pray for a Game 7.
No. You are exactly correct here, and that's what we're rooting for in seven. I thought the series would go at least six or seven games. Now hoping that it does go to seven games will keep everything interesting here. But a lot of fun to be had, as you said. And Colin Morikawa, the British Open, what a fantastic performance. Even though as us FanDuel odds boost here, we're cheering on maybe Spieth, Rahm, and also some other guys in the competition to try to win it. He was sensational as was. So guys, stay tuned for the Morning After, 9 to 12 p.m. right here on the Sports Grid Network. Ariel and Epstein and also Ben Stevens. Got you covered. We're out of here for The Early Line for myself and Kevin Walsh.